This is Maine Currents, independent local news, views, and culture. I'm Amy Brown. Last Saturday, thousands of people took to the streets across the country to protest Trump and Doge and call for protecting democracy. Hands Off 2025 was organized by a wide coalition of groups with a wide range of concerns. There were large crowds at the Hands Off rallies in several places across Maine. I covered Belfast, and we'll hear from folks from there a bit later. But first, we're going to start with Augusta. Matt Murphy recorded speakers at the rally there on Saturday.
First and foremost, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out today to tell our government, hands off. Yeah. Hands off our rights, hands off our bodies, hands off our state, and hands off of our country. Yeah. The fabric of our nation is stitched together with threads of community and diversity. Yet hatred has left us tattered with strands of injustices blowing in the wind. We are clothed in pain, wearing despair's attire. In the reign of destruction, we are children of chaos, soaked in bloodshed, while our rights erode and our freedom is washed away. Tears of the working class flow into rushing rivers of oppression as billionaires flourish in abundance. The only dangerous minority in this country is the top 1%. To prevent a class war, they distract us with a culture war. Our struggles don't exist because we can't feed the poor, but rather because we will never satisfy the rich. While they sleep in their mansions paid for by our exploitation, the homeless lay lifeless and frozen in the street. Greedy insurance companies hold our life-saving medication hostage, and property is hoarded and rented back to us at astronomical prices. Yeah! A day will come when the poor have nothing left to eat but the rich. Yeah! We have begged and pleaded for our human rights to be respected, but we are screaming into a void. Our system is not built to save us, it is built to stall us. Both the Republican and Democratic parties are brought to you by billionaires. 52 billionaires funded the Republican campaign and 83 funded the Democratic campaign. The lesser of two evils mentality has created a government that spends $820 billion a year on the military-industrial complex while our education system is dismantled and our healthcare is ripped away. The American oligarchy could care less if you live or die. We are dollar signs in the eyes of shareholders. Starting today, we will no longer be bargaining chips for politicians who use our human rights as pawns in the game of capitalism. Woo! Our loyalty does not lie with a political party. We will not ignore genocide. We will not applaud politicians for doing the bare minimum. We are tired of complacency. They work for us, and we, the people, demand better. One thing we know for certain is that community works faster than government, and mutual aid is revolutionary. When they hoard resources, we will redistribute. When they pause aid, we will create it. We must travel across the border of hatred and injustice to reach a destination where our love is bound to break the walls that separate us. There is agony in the eyes of strangers and grief hidden behind well-placed smiles. The seeds of liberation are sown in solidarity. It is time to eradicate isolationism and build consolidated power. The real protest begins after you leave here. The foundation of our success rides on our ability to create sustainable community. This is how we will survive, thrive, and build a future where we don't rely on systems that were never meant to protect us in the first place. In the face of losing everything, we find our unification. We have no choice left but to depend on each other, helping the ones we disdain as they are in the midst of hardship, leaving groceries on the doorstep of those riddled with illness, sitting together hand in hand, gathered around hospital beds, donating to shelters and food banks, volunteering your time to help the people who live in a place that you call home, helping others despite our differences and without expectation of reciprocation. Donate your money. If you don't have a penny to spare, give your time. If you have no time, share your resources. If you haven't a single resource, then supply your community with kindness. Being the change we want to see in the world cannot end with rants at kitchen tables. Our words should be transformed into meaningful action. The victimization we experience from their exploitation will cease to exist once we stand up and rip the power away from the few that hold it. My parting words to you are this. They can arrest the revolutionary, but they cannot stop the revolution. They can deport the liberator, but they will not dismantle the liberation. And they can cut Maine funding, but they will never eradicate Maine's resistance.
Emily for office. So good afternoon. It's really, really awesome to see you all here this afternoon. Again, my name's Erin Overson. I'm a registered nurse in labor and delivery at Eastern Maine. I am a proud member of the Maine State Nurses Association National Nurses Organizing Committee. As union nurses, we have long fought for Medicare for All because we know that healthcare is a human right. We nurses are protectors of public health and advocates for our patients. We know through both science and experience that health is not just about medical treatment. It's also about the world that we live in, our jobs, our families, our communities, and the support systems we all rely on. Those include Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, the Department of Health and Human Services, and Veterans Affairs Administration. Right now, as you know, those support systems are under attack. The current administration wants to weaken and privatize these programs that have helped millions of people stay alive, housed, and cared for. Without these programs, our most vulnerable seniors, low-income families, people with disabilities, and veterans will suffer. And while they're attacking social programs, they're also stripping away protected union rights from federal workers, including 15,000 of our VA nurses. They know that when we are united, we can hold them accountable. So they are trying to break our solidarity, and we won't let them. Why is the current administration doing this? Because they don't believe in a society where we take care of each other. They want a society where the wealthy and the powerful get richer while the rest of us struggle. They say people should be responsible for only themselves, at the same time handing out billions in tax breaks, subsidies, and bailouts to giant corporations. To be clear, our nation's public programs were created for a reason. During times of struggle, like the Great Depression, the World Wars, and Vietnam. During times when our economic system failed everyday people. Seniors were dying in poverty, veterans were left without care, and millions of Americans lacked basic services to live. Sound familiar? And you know what? The administration knows these are popular programs with voters, so they can't get rid of them overnight. Instead, they have a plan to turn these public programs into money-making systems for private corporations. They are trying to pave the way for their billionaire besties to skim money off the top. For example, they can help seniors manage their Social Security accounts for a fee. How do they justify doing this? First, they have to break the system. They slash funding, cut staff, and change policies until the program no longer properly functions. Then private corporations swoop in, offering to fix it for a profit. We can't let this happen. must stand up for a society that values people over profit. Hands off our public services. We must fight to protect these public programs, and we must fight to protect our unions. We need to tell them, hands off! Our seniors, our communities, our patients, our veterans, we all depend on this. Hands off our public services and hands off our union rights. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We will be hearing from another one who is also a third-term legislator, sits on the Energy and Labor Committee, and was a first-generation college student. Let's hear it for Representative Valley Geiger. Sorry.
Oh. Hello, Maine! I am overwhelmed! Wow! It's so good to be here. So, I'm a nurse, too, I guess we got it today. So here we are, getting off the sidelines, and we are at a moment of maximum peril, because this time, the Mad King and his billionaire friends are joined by the church, the Christian nationalists, the religious zealots, to bring us all to our knees. So, stand up! Bodies. Hands off. Our money. Hands off. Our jobs. Hands off. Our health care. Hands off. Our forests. Hands off. Our water. Hands off. So, pick a side. And if you think there is no difference between a Democrat and a Republican, I invite you to come to the statehouse where I serve. Democrats have a 3-seat majority in the House. Let me tell you what that means. This week on Labor Committee, we heard 3 bills to roll back every single protection for children in the workplace. Every Republican voted for that bill. Every Democrat voted against it. 6 bills in judiciary this week to make abortion illegal. Every Democrat voted against that. Every Republican voted for it. 1 bill to make contraception unavailable. Every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. Bills to eliminate or decrease the minimum wage are defeated by Democrats. Every Republican votes to do away with minimum wage. Bills to undo Maine's strictest in the nation mining laws. We will defeat that. So, Maine, hard times are coming. Pick a side. We can do this. Elbows up!
My name's Katie Saunders. I grew up an hour north of here on unceded Wabanaki and Penobscot Nation land. I'm a primary care provider, the mom of a disabled kid, have a gender non-conforming sibling, and own a small business. I stand here today in solidarity with my community and to say hands off our bodily autonomy. Hands off trans people.
Hands off.
abortion care, Social Security, our national parks, Medicare, Palestine, our voting rights, the environment, the Department of Education, our universities, immigrants, student protesters, et cetera, et cetera. I was asked to speak today on how I personally have been affected by the current political landscape. Honestly, I haven't. I am a white, upper middle class, hetero, cisgendered, and otherwise privileged person. Other than emotional distress, which is certainly severe at times, my day-to-day life hasn't changed. So some might ask, then why do you care? Because I believe that those of us with privilege and relative power need to stand up. Need to stand in solidarity with those that society has not provided such a voice. For those who are afraid of being arrested, deported, disappeared, or worse. Because my mom taught me to care about others, nature, and to speak up when things aren't right. Our current elected officials are beholden to corporations and the ultra-rich. They don't care about you, your kids, or our collective future on this planet. Our government gives tax cuts to the ultra-rich and pays for them by stealing from the poor and disabled. Our government gives billions to an apartheid state to commit genocide at the same time we're entering the climate apocalypse. I don't have to tell this crowd the U.S. military is the number one emitter of greenhouse gases and that military programs are exempt from climate goals. For any of you who aren't sure if we've entered fascism here in the U.S., let's define fascism and oligarchy. Fascism, a political regime that exalts nation and race above the individual, with a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader characterized by forcible suppression of opposition. Check. Check. Oligarchy, when the ruling elite blatantly use their status for their own personal gain rather than the public good. Check. White liberals seem to think that fascism here is new, but our black, brown, and indigenous friends, and indeed others in other marginalized communities, will tell us we've been here for years. And so many of us feel hopeless, helpless, afraid, and alone. These feelings are valid, but fascism wins when those feelings are debilitating and causes to despair and lose our agency. This is what the ruling class wants, because fascism only succeeds when we give up and obey. The stakes are high. I know it can feel like our actions aren't doing enough, but this is how the oppressive systems are able to persist. So I want to end with a prescription for how to keep ourselves healthy for the long battle that comes next. Because make no mistake, my comrades, that is what is ahead of us. We're going to need every single one of you to join the fight. Now, I'm not an expert on social movements. For that, we can turn to our black, brown, and indigenous community for that. I don't mean in a colonialist, stealing, white savior type of way. I mean in a mutualistic, interdependent, grateful type of way. Take care of yourself. Again, not in the capitalist, consumerist, isolationist way. I mean in the Black Panther way of collective well-being. Get enough sleep, eat healthy, move your body as you're able, get outside, connect with nature, because keeping ourselves healthy is an act of resistance. Stay informed without doom scrolling. Find sources that you trust. Be sure they not only inform, but share solutions too, because knowledge is an act of resistance. Find your community. This could be your neighbors, an activist group, or your chosen family, because building community is an act of resistance. Study history and how successful movements from the past fought back. Because knowledge education is an act of resistance. Yeah! Participate in mutual aid. Call, email, write your elected officials. Maybe run for office yourself. Remove money from big banks. Boycott corporations and celebrity culture. Participate in alternate economies like barter system and co-ops. Join or even start a union. Resist, repeat. Understand that your enemy is not your neighbor or the working class. It's the ultra rich and the ruling class. These actions may seem small. Collectively, we need to seize our power to resist the few. We must picture the future we want to see and start living that future now. This is how we will win, and win we must, because nobody is free until everybody's free. Thank you.
Good afternoon, friends and neighbors. My name is Adriana, and I'm with Presente Maine. Thank you. 5 years ago, we started delivering food to community members who faced an impossible choice: risk death by going to work during COVID, or stay home, unable to afford food and rent. So we organized, taking fresh, culturally appropriate food directly to people's homes, no questions asked. Now, 5 years later, we find ourselves in a painfully similar place. Our community is again afraid to leave home, this time due to threats from ICE, harassment by police, and intimidation by the public, emboldened by white nationalism. My community, the Latin community in Maine, comprises over 25,000 people, the largest and youngest racial and ethnic minority in the state. Despite being the driving force behind Maine's most celebrated industries, the billion-dollar lobster industry, the world's most productive blueberry fields, and our renowned hospitality sector, our community has not reaped the benefits of this labor. This story is not unique to us. Picture two people in Maine, one immigrant, one multi-generational Mainer. On the surface, they might seem different, but look closer. Both work long hours in backbreaking industries to put food on the table. Both fight for their wages, for their families, and for their survival. Both pay their taxes. Both share the same core values, wanting to make their children's lives easier than their own. And ultimately, both are taken advantage of by the same system. What separates us is not our values nor our struggles, but rather the walls deliberately built between us by those who directly benefit from our exhaustion and our hopelessness. The system wants us divided. It wants us to believe that Palestinian struggle is separate from the immigrant rights struggle, is separate from indigenous sovereignty, is separate from black liberation, is separate from struggles of poor white communities in rural Maine. But we know better. The economic system that exploits immigrant labor in blueberry fields is the same system that has abandoned mill towns across Maine. The forces that criminalize immigrants and tear families apart are the same forces that ignore the opioid crisis devastating white rural communities. The politicians who cut social services are hurting all working families, regardless of where those families were born. When we stay divided, those in power win. They maintain control. They want us to look at each other as enemies rather than looking up at all those who profit from our struggles. They succeed when we fight each other instead of fighting together. The money keeps flowing upward while we fight over crumbs. These are tough times, and Maine is in the crosshairs. This is precisely when we must band together and rely on community. It's clear our federal government won't take care of us, so we must take care of each other. Especially the most vulnerable among us. Solo el pueblo salva al pueblo. Only the people save the people. What truly frightens those in power is when we come together across racial and socioeconomic lines. Their power relies entirely on the fear they instill and maintain. Fear of the family that just moved in next door. Fear that family will get resources my family doesn't have. That's what we must remember. There is enough for all of us. The scarcity we fear is manufactured by those hoarding wealth and power. But power is not a zero-sum game. We can build it together. When we organize for fresh food, livable wages, and access to land, it's because everyone deserves to live a life of value and meaning. When we fight for housing and healthcare, it's because these are human rights and basic needs that should not be contingent on being able to afford them. I deserve these things. You deserve these things. We all deserve these things, even if we don't know each other. Yet the neoliberal framework that shapes our current political imagination fails to capture the realities of millions of lives lived on the precipice. Community organizing and local distribution of resources are steps towards progress. But too often we're too busy in our consumer-driven world to stop and take collective action and organize for true sovereignty and lasting social change. Maybe this moment, with ICE detaining people in county jails across the state, with increased targeting of immigrant communities, with growing economic pressure on working families of all backgrounds, maybe this moment can be our opportunity to refocus our efforts. If you're feeling dejected, paralyzed, afraid, if you're ready to make a difference, organize. Get involved in your community. Find someone working on a project you believe in and give them what you have to offer. Spread the word, donate. Above all, show up. Thank you all for showing up today. Thank you for refusing to be frozen by fear. But most importantly, recognize that your liberation is bound up with mine. Your family's security is connected with my family's security. Let that be your guiding principle. As Assata Shakur reminds us, it is our duty to fight for freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. Our struggles are won, and so must be our resistance. Gracias.
Hello, everybody. Hello. My name is Fatih. I'm proudly with the Maine Coalition for Palestine. I was born a stateless refugee to a family ethnically cleansed from Palestine in 1948. In my 20s, I was a green card holder right here in the U.S., and I became a citizen right here in Maine in 1978. I understand in my bones the fear that migrants have today, and I have felt the restrictions and punishments for speaking publicly on Palestine for many years. I can't begin to express the pain of knowing that our tax dollars are taken from us here and used to support ongoing ethnic cleansing and genocide against my people in Palestine. So you see, my being here with you today is very personal for me.
And my name is Claire, speaking on behalf of Maine Jewish Voice for Peace and a proud member of the Coalition for Palestine. I grew up here in Maine, and as a child in the Jewish community, I learned the values of tzedek, or justice, and tikkun olam, healing the world. It's broken my heart to see the institutions I grew up with refusing to extend those values to the people of Palestine. I am here because of my Jewish values, not in spite of them. And I stand with Palestine because I refuse to be part of a system that takes away their human right to safety, autonomy, and dignity. I am standing here as a Jewish voice to say, support of Palestine and criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitism. This is a lie that has been pushed by war profiteers and white nationalists that has nothing to do with Jewish safety and everything to do with suppressing free speech and the voices of those fighting against oppression. Equating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism is a dangerous conflation that is literally putting the safety and livelihoods of those fighting for justice and human rights at risk. Just in the last few weeks, the State Department has revoked over 300 student visas of those who are brave enough to speak out about in support of Palestine. And State Department employees are now required to check all visa applicants' social media for pro-Palestine content. Marco Rubio literally bragged about it. Suppression of free speech is happening here and now, so we must act here and now.
My friends, we are at a pivotal moment confronting cruel, supremacist and callous ideologies that put profit and power before people. Our strength is our diversity, our solidarity, and our determination to stop this onslaught. In 1936, it's important to know some history, a diverse group of global anti-fascists defended Madrid against Franco's troops with the rallying cry, "No pasarán!" Yeah. They shall not pass. And today, together, we must say, this shall not pass.
This shall not pass.
This shall not pass.
This shall not pass.
They are hell-bent on cutting programs on equality and diversity, gutting education, banning LGBTQ and feminist books, bulldozing black and indigenous history, eliminating Middle East and Palestine studies, firing scientists, researchers, doctors, historians, and political scientists. What do we say? This shall not pass. They rob our communities of much-needed programs, yet somehow always find enough money for war and to bankroll Israel's near total destruction of Gaza, killing and injuring 200,000 human beings with our tax money, including doctors and nurses, and as we are just seeing now, murdering emergency medical teams in cold blood. They are blocking food and medicine and destroying hospitals, schools, farmland, and crucial facilities for electricity, water, and sanitation. If this is not genocide, I don't know what the hell you would call it. And we say, this shall not pass. We say no to scapegoating migrants, refugees, the undocumented, and now even green card holders, all of whom are vulnerable, mostly brown and black, or because they dare to speak truth to power. And we say, this shall not pass. Shame on Columbia University. Shame. And other institutions that are buckling under this administration's bullying and blackmail. Universities and colleges must fight back. Fight back. Do not throw your students and their education under the bus. Protect them. Fight for them. Fight for academic freedom and the right to dissent. If these attacks are allowed to pass, all dissent will be next. All of us will be next. We call upon our colleges and universities in Maine to fight back and join us in saying, this shall not pass. I'm proud to be standing shoulder to shoulder with Claire and reiterate her call that criticizing Israel and settler colonial Zionism is not anti-Semitism. The real anti-Semites are those who separate us, divide us, differentiate us, and openly make Nazi salutes before large crowds. We will continue to stand together with you and say, like the anti-fascists of old, no pasaran, this shall not pass. This shall not pass.
This shall not pass.
This is WERU-FM, and you are listening to Maine Currents.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andy, and I'm a member of Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURJ, S-U-R-J. Thanks. I'd like to share with you a little about why I'm here and also what our group is doing to build racial justice in Maine. It is important to actively resist the increasing authoritarian actions that are being taken, not just nationally, but right here at home. Yes. It's here that I have witnessed our own elected officials bully trans children, harming their physical and mental well-being, yes, while using human rights as bargaining chips for federal funding. I have witnessed local law enforcement cooperate and even partner with Border Patrol policies that stoke fear in our communities and limit our civil rights. I have witnessed wealthy individuals dismantle government services and threaten the lives of people who rely on SNAP benefits, Medicaid, Social Security, federal grants and loans, and more. I was laid off from my job last year, and I have relied on these government services while searching for work. Having access to SNAP benefits and MaineCare has made the difference in my life by allowing me to afford my food, my doctor's visits, and my medications. And I know I am not alone in this experience because thousands of people are continuing to be laid off in mass layoffs from government and non-government jobs. And the fact that the ultra-wealthy, many of whom don't pay their fair share in taxes, want to take away these life-saving services is unacceptable. All these authoritarian actions have something in common. They depend on racist ideas. The concept of the sex and gender binaries were created as tools to justify racism. Increased detention and deportation relies on us accepting racist ideas about which people are deserving or not. Yeah. Racism has been used to justify decreased funding for and increased privatization of public services like public schools and SNAP benefits. These actions threaten our governing system while supporting white supremacist ideas. The executive actions taken over the last few months aim to strategically expand the power of the presidency and ignore any checks and balances. The idea that the president has the complete control over the rights of citizens and can strip them away at any time is straight out of the authoritarian playbook. It's straight out of the authoritarian playbook, and it also relies on our ongoing consent and participation. So it's important for us to break solidarity with white supremacy in this moment. We must not remain complicit. Yeah. SURJ works to bring white people into the fight for racial justice, to push back on this authoritarian takeover, and do our part to build multiracial resistance. Our chapters in Biddeford Saco, Greater Portland, Central Maine, Midcoast Maine, and across the state are building towards a world that centers racial justice, where everyone has their basic needs met and where everyone is safe and supported in community.
Effie Garner, and I am the chapter chair of the Maine Democratic Socialists of America. Woo! I'm also a grad student at Northeastern University and an advocate focused on violence prevention policy and research. I also work for a national gun violence prevention organization and most recently worked on a ballot initiative campaign here in our great state of Maine to get an extreme risk protection order on our fall ballot. So I hope that everybody votes yes to get an extreme risk protection order signed into law in November so we can protect our schools and communities from gun violence. So when writing this speech, I realized that I don't need to list off all the horrific things that the Trump administration and his billionaire buddies are doing. You already know that, and that's why we're here. However, I do want to talk about another reason that we're here. We know that change does not happen in isolation. It happens in our streets and in our neighborhoods and in the conversations among people who refuse to accept the status quo. It happens when we build community, not as a concept, but as a force that moves us forward. But what do I mean by build community? And where do you fit into that? Community isn't just about showing up like you have today. It's about bringing what you have when you can. Every one of us here has a skill, a strength, or an experience that can push this movement forward. Maybe you're an organizer who unites people, or a strategist who can craft a plan, or maybe you're an artist who can shape the message. Maybe you're a teacher, a healer, woo! A healer, a researcher, or a builder. Whatever your skill set, this movement needs you. And if we want to end this nightmare and rebuild, we need our own infrastructure. Too often, we think that activism belongs to those with the loudest voices and the biggest platforms. But history tells us otherwise. Movements are built by ordinary people like you and me showing up consistently with intention and together. And that's the key. Together. Yeah. Nowhere is this clearer than in the labor movement, where unions have proven that collective action wins. Better wages, safer conditions, and dignity on the job, all accomplished by labor unions. That same power of solidarity applies to every single fight that we are in today, whether for reproductive rights, trans liberation, Palestine liberation, or any of the struggles happening right now. Not only are they interconnected, but they require the same commitment from all of us. But let's be real. While this might resonate with all of you, many of you, we're exhausted and change feels daunting. I know that many of you wake up like myself, turn on the news and think, oh my God, this country is so fucked. But at the same time, you think, I have all these responsibilities. I gotta go walk my dog. I gotta go finish that proposal for work and I still need my free time. You ache for change, but you wonder, where would I find the time? And what can I even add to this? I get it. We all do. Life is overwhelming, and especially right now. But here's the hard truth. Nothing changes if we do not make the time. Movements are built by people like you, people with jobs and with families and responsibilities. And you don't need to give up everything. You don't have to burn out, but you do need to commit. Because no one is coming to save us, and we have to save each other. So when you go home today, ask yourself, what do you bring to this movement? Who will you stand beside? Do you stand up for the workers that are fighting for fair pay? Right? For the renters fighting for affordable housing? For the organizers knocking on doors, making phone calls, and building up the resistance? And after you reflect, act. Because solidarity is not just a word. It is an action, and it is the foundation of every victory that we have ever won and will ever win. Building a better world starts with the small, powerful decision to contribute what you can when you can. When we bring our skills, our energy, and our commitment to this movement, we will turn collective power into real change. Please do not go home and wait for the next protest. Protesting is only one piece of this. Make a commitment today towards building this resistance movement. Show up, bring your skills, and be part of the fight. Because movements do not just need supporters, they need builders, and that means you. So what do? When workers are under attack, we stand up, fight back. What do? When immigrants are under attack, we stand up, fight back. And what do? When our LGBTQ friends are under attack, we stand up, fight back. And what do? When our communities are under attack? We stand up and fight back. Thank you.
That was recorded by Matt Murphy on Saturday, April 5th in Augusta at the hands-off rally there. In Belfast, the rally that day spilled out of Post Office Square and onto all four corners and up and down Main Street. I asked people why they came out and what they would say to Trump if they had a chance to speak with him.
Well, we're just here because we can't stand by and do nothing. Otherwise, the country will go down the tubes, and it's upsetting the world order to a tremendous degree, and it just has to stop.
If you could say something to Donald Trump to his face today that you could say safely on the radio, what would it be?
Well, bye-bye is a good one.
Leave.
Yes.
Just like leave.
Resign or abdicate if he thinks he's a king.
My sign says, hands off our water and air. Keep science in the EPA. Keep scientists in the EPA. And keep science in the EPA. I just think it's a travesty of how an unelected individual can garner a bunch of kids and come into our federal agencies and try to destroy decades of work for the public, for the commons. And that's why I'm out here. I just think it's absolutely despicable about what is going on with all the wonderful institutions that have spent years and years to create and all the work that's gone in to those agencies. And to see them destroyed in a few months so that billionaires can get a tax cut is just despicable.
Do you want to say your name and where you're from?
I live in Morrill, Maine, and my name is Errol Rutila. I'm a retired farmer and a current photographer.
Thank you. Do you want to add anything? What does your sign say, first off?
Yeah. My sign says, protect the farmers, the planet, non-binary rights, immigrants, our economy, including Social Security. Please protect democracy and the truth.
So what primarily got you out here today? All of those issues?
It's all of the issues. It's chaos. There's so much happening that... What are we going to do? The only thing we can do right now is to protest, and then we'll figure out what else we can do as we go along.
If you could say something directly to Donald Trump today, either of you, what would it be?
Ask him.
What's wrong with peace, love, and understanding? How about a little empathy for the people in this country you're supposed to be representing? Go play golf on Mars.
Yes. There's not an option to sit back, that even though there's standing on the corner doesn't necessarily change policy, it sends a signal that even a small town like Belfast cares and is rallying together, and being out here with more people than I've ever seen at a protest in this town ever feels activating, feels energizing, and we need that right now.
You want to say your name and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Kara Harshman. I'm from Belfast. Yeah.
And I've been asking people this, you can obviously pass them anything, but if you could say something directly to Trump today, what would it be?
Look around. The people are speaking. When will you start listening?
Hands off democracy! 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 Hands off democracy!
Hi, I'm Ridgely Fuller, and I live in Belfast, and I could never be more proud of my community that we're all out here covering every single issue possibly that's affecting us all over the world. And if I had something to say to Trump, I would say, stop the genocide in Palestine, because I think the Palestinians are the canary in our coal mine, and our speech is becoming less free, and folks, countries are acting with impunity, and it trickles down, and we have to stop that and remember our humanity. And this is a wonderful example of each of us remembering and caring about our neighbors, both near and far.
Thank you. Do you want to say a few words?
Yeah. I think this is what happens when it started with Citizens United and money got into politics, and this is the result. We got big money, and it's to their interests.
What would you say to Trump if you could speak directly to him today?
I can't think what I would say to that guy. He's hopeless. You know, he's hopeless. Go play golf.
I'm here to stand up for democracy, to stand up for our queer brothers and sisters, for immigrants, and for basic human rights in America.
If you could say something directly to Donald Trump, what would it be?
F*** you.
Do either of you want to add anything?
No, I think she said it all.
Yeah, she said it all.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tiernan.
Are you both here from here in Belfast?
We're just a few minutes out
from Northport.
Yeah. So.
What brought you out here today?
Because our democracy is sinking, thanks to a clown in control right now, and this is literally the least we can do. But at least it's something, you know.
And I agree. You know, when you ask why we're here, the list is so long. Every single day, there's a horrifying thing going on, not just a red versus blue thing, but a horrifying takedown of our constitution and of our entire country, and it's terrifying. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
If you were able to say something directly to Donald Trump, what would you say?
I would say stop destroying people's lives for literally no reason except to do it and for your friends to be rich.
You know, I would have nothing to say to him because I know that nothing would get through.
That's better. I like her answer.
It would be like talking to a wall. And if I displayed any emotion, which I would want to, I want to cry every day, he would think that was funny.
Know,
which, of course, would just make me feel worse and everyone like me feel worse.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm here because the current administration is endangering everything in this country. Alluded to chaos. It's pure unbridled chaos. And they're a threat and danger just about everything. It's rampant incompetence, if nothing else, outright lunacy. And it's a threat and a danger to everything and everyone.
What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Lawrence Reichert. I'm from Belfast, Maine.
Thank you.
William Evans, Searsmont. I had the privilege of hearing WERU on their very first day of broadcasting. Awesome. Followed it since. But, yeah, I'm here. Things are just appalling and falling apart. I hate to see things ripped apart the way they are. So,
if you could say something directly to Donald Trump, what would it be?
Not repeatable on air.
So I'm out here because of the attacks on federal workers by DOGE and the Trump administration. Just last week, they eliminated collective bargaining rights for about 1 million workers in this country. This is Ronald Reagan on steroids, what's happening here. You know, as we say, the old poem goes, then they came for the trade unionists, well, they're coming for the trade unionists. So that's why I'm out here. We're fighting back against that, and we've got workers all over the state of Maine and the country that are joining these protests. My name's Andy O'Brien, and I'm the communications director for the Maine AFL-CIO.
Annie Daugherty from Belfast, Maine. I'm here because I'm horrified. This is the worst situation, I think, since the Civil War. And that's all. We had to do something. I thought we would do it during the election, but I was pretty disappointed.
Say something directly to Donald Trump. What would it be?
I think he is incapable of hearing anything other than what he wants to hear. What I'd say to everybody that's supporting him is, you're making a terrible, terrible mistake for this country.
Those are the voices of some of the people attending the Hands Off rally in Belfast last Saturday. For Maine Currents, independent local news, views, and culture, I'm Amy Brown with Matt Murphy. You're listening to Community Radio WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and streaming at weru.org.